The Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy, featuring Sarah Smith and the Snark Factor players. Now, here's Fingers.
I'm told there was a debate between Republican hopefuls to become president of the United States. I'm told there was a debate, and it was on NBC, National Broadcasting Company, NBC. They have a news wing of NBC, allegedly, and they had people from NBC moderate the debate because it was on NBC. A brilliant decision made by the RNC. Good morning. The Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Thanks for tuning in to Wham Talk Radio on this lovely Sunday morning. Mama Swati on Twitter. Sarah Smith is joining us as the news babe, as she always does here on the Snark Factor. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning. I'm not on Twitter anymore.
That's right.
I'm on X.
There it is. It's funny. Before we started the program, we were talking about Sarah running into some people that she knew. And there was a person there who everybody was exchanging their X handles. And they were very excited. They're actually meeting Mama Swati in person.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I experienced that. It's been a while.
So that's
made
why
me
I called
feel
her
young again.
2012. It was a simpler time.
Right.
But that's why I suddenly decided to call her Mama Swati.
I'm into it.
So I like it. There was a debate.
There sure
and,
was.
So Chris Christie was there.
He sure was.
Vivek. He was there.
He was.
Ron DeSantis was there.
Yes.
Tim Scott was there.
Yes.
Nikki Haley and her really weird hand gestures were in attendance.
And her 3-inch/5-inch heels, which is apparently all anyone wants to talk about.
Okay, here's the deal. We're going to, you know, get into this. Sarah watched a lot more of the debate than I ended up watching. I didn't watch any of it. But Sarah watched a lot of it. And there's a piece, I'm always interested, the New York Post. They will have a body language expert analyzing the body language of the candidates. But a couple of things that I did see from the debate that I wanted to discuss with you, Sarah. First of all, I blame myself for this, okay? Because I feel like this is an irrational position to have. Okay. The strong dislike I have for Nikki Haley.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing. You're not wrong. You're not out of line. I find her to be quite unlikable.
Yeah, off-putting. Yes, that's where it goes. Off-putting.
Yeah.
And listen, ladies and gentlemen, on the off chance that Nikki Haley gets the nomination.
I will vote for Nikki Haley.
Yes, I will vote for Nikki Haley in her bizarre hand gestures.
Because you know who's more off-putting than Nikki Haley? Joe Biden.
Yes. Well, not that Joe Biden
by a
be
lot.
On the ticket.
Right, exactly. that assumes that Michelle Obama hasn't ziplined in to save the day.
Yeah.
I almost said paratroop, but I realized that was definitely inappropriate.
Yeah.
Can't use that phrase anymore. Swoop in. Can I just say swoop in?
Yeah, swoop.
Swoop in and save the day. Okay, yeah. Perfect.
So, Nikki Haley, the hand gestures, and understand you're listening to a show called The Snark Factor, ladies and gentlemen. So if you were looking for hard hitting political analysis, you're in the wrong spot.
I'm to the wrong place.
I'm leading with hand gestures, ladies and gentlemen. But I figured out, and this is going to sound to some people sexist, because it reminds me of a flight attendant. When she's behind, she's like, okay, the lavatories are in the rear. The emergency exits are right over there. That's the, those are their hand gestures. And anybody who calls me a sexist for pointing that out, I will say to you, you are the sexist if you think that there are only female flight attendants and there are no male flight attendants.
Correct. In fact, some of the best flight attendants I've ever had have been males. They always do like funny, quippy things.
Yes.
When they're doing like, it's so funny.
Wacky humor.
Yeah, I think it's funny.
But Nikki Haley is the flight attendant on stage who will tell you where the emergency exits are located, the side of the plane. There are laboratories in front and in the back of the plane. Keep my daughter's name out of your mouth if we're discussing TikTok.
Oh, that was so awkward. That whole exchange was awkward because she said something weird. What was it? She was like, keep my daughter's name out of your voice.
Yes.
Something. Was that what it was?
Yeah. Out of your voice, because I think she started to totally pull a Will Smith and realized halfway through that she couldn't say it. For those who did not watch the debate, there was a point where they were discussing TikTok. Mm-hmm. Sarah, the TikToks. It's very popular with the kids.
The TikToks.
And apparently in a previous debate, Nikki Haley criticized Vivek was saying that, you know, if you want the youth vote, you have to go where the youth voters get their information. Voters, the young voters, the kids,
the youths.
Yeah. And that TikTok is one of the places. And of course, the TikTok is owned by the Chi-Coms and they're doing a whole bunch of evil things to their algorithms and showing, you know, the stuff that the kids are seeing on the TikToks. It's not good.
Right.
It's mind poison. Yes. But it's not banned. You should be on TikTok if you want to reach young voters. I agree with Vivek there. Vivek. I agree with him there. And Nikki Haley, I guess, came down on him in a previous debate about this. And he said, well, the way he phrased it, I thought was completely fine. People who don't like Vivek. This was terrible bringing up her daughter. It's a ridiculous attack. He wasn't attacking her daughter.
He didn't bring it's not like he was referring, like said something scandalous about her daughter. All he said was, your daughter's on TikTok. If you really think that we should ban TikTok, maybe you should start in your own home.
Yes.
It's that simple. He didn't like accuse her of being like an OnlyFans star or something. Like he did.
You would have thought
the kid.
You would have thought he said, "Nikki, your daughter's a whore."
Right. She got mad, and it's just like, well. And then her big comeback was, "You're on TikTok," and he's like, "Yeah, I know." I repeat, this is where I go to contact the youngs, the youths, the chillins. Vivek did have, look, I personally, again, speaking of off-putting people, I do find him a little like smarmy, a little snake oily, I guess might be a good term. But he had some great moments last night. There was this one moment, we'll get to the body language expert. And this will be a very special thing for all of us to share, because I think that the listening audience will appreciate this. Kristen, I don't know her last name, who is one of the moderators of NBC. It was Lester Holt and Hugh Hewitt.
Kristen Cinema. Let's go. May as well have been.
Right. At some point, we're just going to have to just throw everybody in the same room and just have them.
NBC. NBC. Kristen Wiig. Was the moderator.
That's close. It's like Welker, one of those two.
Wes Welker.
I love that name. Wes Welker. So she had asked, I don't even remember what the question was, because Vivek's answer blew my brain away so much. He said, you expect us to answer questions about accountability and responsibility? Kristen, when are you going to take accountability for spreading the Russian collusion hoax? Are you going to go to your television audience and you're going to tell them that it was just Hillary Clinton opposition research that you pushed on them and ran on them? You did it. You talked about it. Are you going to be accountable for it? And she just put this smarmy little smile on her face.
Oh, what's she going to do?
And they moved on to something else.
Of course.
It was great. And I'm like, I could watch that all day. A lot of people are in the camp that Vivek is running for Trump's VP.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily disagree with. I think that he would love to be Trump's VP. But he had a great performance last night. He really did. Last night.
The other night.
Just want you guys to know that Fingers and I both had very, very long weeks.
Oh, you're not kidding.
Yeah. So Wednesday night at the debate.
So, and of course, he went after the RNC for asking NBC to host the debate, which was, we've been saying this for years. It's been a frustration of many on the right that the RNC, the Republicans, they have right wing media available to them. It used to drive me crazy and a lot of other people crazy. If they had a story they wanted leaked, they always go to the Washington Post and the New York Times, where you have plenty of places on the right where you can give the story to.
Right.
To get it out there. And with this, it's NBC. You're not. Although to be fair, I did hear that for the most part, the questions were pretty good. They spent the first hour on foreign policy and Israel. Mm-hmm. And so
with the exception of the first question, which was, what makes you the candidate to not necessarily beat Donald Trump? But the question was like, compare yourself to Donald Trump as a candidate. And they each had to go through and explain why they are a better choice than Donald Trump.
Mm.
And so I find that to be very boring and tiring. But right after that, they jumped right into foreign policy and stuff. And it was a pretty substantial, like they touched all the bases. But again, the questions are all coming from this like left leaning bias. And they're all presented in this way where you're sort of presenting this false narrative and then they are expected to answer for it. And
yeah.
But the Vivek Rana McDaniels moment was big. In fact, there's some back and forth about that. There's you guys might in the coming week see some news about her. Yeah, she had.
Your sources are telling you something?
My sources close to the investigation.
For those that didn't see the debate, Vivek called for her to come up on stage and resign in front of everybody. And we were all waiting for her to do it. But for some reason, it didn't happen.
It's so strange. It's so strange. It's so weird. It's like we have been losing elections since 2017. Someone mm-hmm. get this woman out. Why is she having us do debates with NBC?
Yeah.
But in one of the post-debate interview with our mutual friend, Larry O'Connor of WMAL out of D.C., she says that the RNC has no, because one of the big arguments is Virginia, right? So we've got like Virginia and Ohio. They both big losses.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans were supposed to get majorities in both and they didn't. Like just so the Virginia election failure of last week has been a big topic in the area. As any new listeners might know, I am a swamp adjacent
mm-hmm.
broadcasting to you from the edges of the swamp. So she says that the RNC has nothing to do with Virginia elections.
Well, that's a relief.
Isn't that nice to hear? So I don't know what's going to come of this. They have actually, there's a couple interviews that are going to be happening in the next couple of days. I don't know if anything's ever going to come of it. But as far as I'm concerned, she outright lied because there's just no way that the RNC has nothing to do with elections.
Nothing to do. Oh, listen, I'm going to take her at her word. I mean,
wash my hands.
I mean, what? When has someone from the RNC ever lied to anyone?
Yeah, no, totally honest up front. Yep.
So let's go over the body language.
Oh, please. Sarah. I love body language too.
Fascinating. So according to this expert, Nikki Haley came across as powerful.
Oh.
Powerful. Because of, I'm guessing, all those really great hand gestures.
I guess so. I don't know.
That's here's the analysis. Nikki Haley's Wednesday performance evoked confidence and reliability through her decisive answers and assertive gestures and postures.
I will agree with the postures. The woman has stunning posture. I will agree with that because she really does. and a lot of women have a problem with their sloopy shoulders. I have a problem with my sloopy shoulders.
See, why do you have to attack women?
Because as the token woman of this on this show, I feel it is my responsibility to be completely upfront and honest and transparent about women.
So,
and sometimes we slump our shoulders. Nikki Haley has excellent posture, but her gestures are not assertive. Her gestures are obnoxious.
Well, may I mansplain for a second here?
Oh, please. Yes. Tell me everything.
If you could have given me a little bit more analysis about this, but starting your analysis by saying, speaking as a woman.
As a woman.
I'm telling you. So powerful. That was powerful.
Powerful and assertive.
Yes. A calmer Tim Scott.
He was very calm, but he's like the most soft-spoken politician I've ever experienced. So I don't know how much softer he could possibly be from just his normal presentation, but
he was much more relaxed in his body language. He was at ease, Sarah. DeSantis, strained smile.
His smile is so creepy. He's got a robot smile. Yeah,
that's
man.
Not
he's
good.
He's got a smile that, like, you know, when people say that person's definitely an alien, like when he smiles. That's what it looks like. Like he looks like he's an alien in a human meat sack suit and like has little alien fingers in there, like pulling his face up to make a smile.
Do you feel like there's some sort of computer messaging being sent to him saying engage smile sequence?
Yes, I do. I do. I do.
Chris Christie, it just tries too hard.
He does. He's what the Gen Z's call pick me. He's a pick me. Don't be a pick me.
Are we still doing this Donald Duck thing for Trump with him?
No, that's not.
He dropped apparently.
He dropped it.
Yeah, oh, that's a shame it. Because that was that was so good.
Speaking of powerful and assertive. Chris Christie.
What's his end game? What's going on here? I mean, he can't honestly believe he's going to be president of the United States.
I do want, while we still have time left, I have to make sure that we highlight the best, biggest moment from the night.
Okay.
It was a personal favorite.
Go on.
Nikki Haley gave some answer about foreign policy something. Vivek responds, and his answer, I don't want to get too bogged down in the details, but he basically called Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis both Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels.
Called both of them Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels.
If you want your president to be a Dick Cheney in 3 heels, you got here 3-inch heels, you got 2 choices right here.
Now that's a good line.
To his right, where Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley are standing there. And Nikki comes back with, actually, they're 5-inch heels, and like has some sort of like pithy answer. DeSantis totally ignored it. But I was sitting there going, did he just call Ron DeSantis Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels? So good. It was so good. In fact, if anyone cares to search the internet, there is definitely AI pictures floating around of Dick Cheney in 3-inch heels, if you're interested in such things.
Like, ladies and gentlemen, I like Ron DeSantis a lot.
Yes.
But that's funny. I don't understand the obsession with his footwear that some people have.
He wears cowboy boots.
Yeah.
They have heels on them. The theory is that he wears a special kind of cowboy boots that actually is like it's a platform hidden inside of the boot. So it looks like it's a normal cowboy boot, but in reality, he is tacked on height because he's short. People get worked up about the craziest things. I don't care how tall you are. I don't care. I don't care what your height is. I don't care what his height is. I don't care.
People are obsessed with this stuff. I mean, because I think Donald Trump is 6'3", isn't he? He's over 6 foot.
Donald Trump is over 6 foot. I'm not sure exactly, but yeah, 6'3" feels about right. Although that's probably one of those things where there's websites telling you that he's only 5'9" and he just says that he's 6'3" and well, here's the proof. And
tiny hands. Tiny hands.
Look at his hands. Look at the size of his hands.
Those aren't presidential hands.
Right. Right. How can you have a leader of the free world with hands like that?
It's all so absurd. And honestly, Sarah, this is why. God bless you out there if you watch this. No interest at all. I just can't. It's a year away from the general. We're not even going to be voting in the primary for another what? For some of us, it's months away.
I mean, Iowa
and New Hampshire are starting to become right around the corner at this point. But good Lord. So the question I have, and we only have like a minute left, is I get a sense there was some focus group chatter after that people are starting to get upset that Trump's not showing up to this, to these debates.
Yes, I think that is happening. I think people are getting, like, especially last night, there was only five people.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing when there's 13 people up there.
Yeah.
But now that we're getting down to it, I think that there are some people going, well, Donald Trump could come and defend his positions and speak to the American people. But Donald Trump addressed that in his rally the same night. And he said, why would I go to a debate on NBC where nobody watches it when I can talk to all of you on TV? You all here. I'm right here.
Yeah. Well,
so he's not wrong, but I am starting to be in that camp, too. I'd like to see him in a debate.
He's not wrong, but he's wrong.
Right.
With that, we have to take a break. More of the Snark Factor coming up. Wham Talk Radio. So I'm apparently shocking a lot of people in my inner circle because I got a haircut. And I have a real odd story that goes along with it. Welcome back to the Snark Factor. My name is Fingers Malloy, along with my haircut. You can find me on X at Fingers Malloy. You find Sarah on X at Mama Swati. There's also Fingers Malloy Radio on Facebook, fingersmalloy.com, where you can find basically everything I do, including Eat, Drink, Smoke, the nationally syndicated cigar bourbon lifestyle radio program that I do with along with Tony Katz. You could find that on your favorite podcast platform if you don't want to go to fingersmalloy.com or X. So Sarah saw me today for the first time since I got a haircut, and I shaved my head.
And no mohawk. He does not have a mohawk right now. People.
Yeah. No mohawk, no hair, completely bald. And so you're probably saying, well, why are you leading with this in this segment? Because I got to tell you the story about what happened when I got the haircut. So I walk in to the place where I get my haircut. I don't want to name the place because they aren't a sponsor, but let's just say that they do clips in a very sporty way.
Nice. So if you're looking for a sporty clip,
yes,
this is where you would go.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So I go there a lot and they keep a file on you. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got, you're in the computer. This is the kind of haircut Fingers Malloy likes to have. And as you know, Sarah, you've known me for a decade at this point. Mm-hmm. I change my look a lot like Madonna. Every 6 months, I got long hair. I got short hair. I got a mohawk. I got a faux hawk. I got a bald fade. I've got a mullet.
You never know what you're going to get.
Right. So I had a full head of hair. Mm-hmm. And the lady pulls out my file. It's 50 pages long. Mm-hmm. And she said, okay, the last thing you did like kind of a bald fade. Like you were in Belle Biv DeVoe. Do you want the bald fade? And I said, you're almost you correct with that. You got part of that right. I want to be bald. Please shave my head.
Just do it.
Yes. And she said, I'm sorry. I said, no need to be sorry. Please shave my head. She goes on the side. I said, no, the whole thing. Take your clippers and remove my hair. That would be wonderful. And she paused and she put her hand over her mouth. Her mouth was open And she looked deep, deep into these lovely green eyes that I have. She put her hand on my shoulder and said, "Is everything okay?"
Oh, come on. Oh. Are you having a Britney Spears moment?
That's, you know, I had one person say to me, "Oh my goodness, she thought you had cancer and you're going through chemo." And that's not where I went.
I didn't think about that at all. Maybe she did.
I thought
that is sweet.
Yes, that is sweet. I thought that she was thinking I was having a falling down moment, mm-hmm. where I was going to get in my car and pull out a baseball bat and I was mad at the world and I, you know, just going to go crazy and start beating people up. And that's where I went.
I have control over my own life. I'm just shaving your head.
Yes, exactly.
Smashing car windows. Yeah. I'll do what I want.
Yeah, so after 10 minutes of assuring her that everything's okay, she shaved my head. And this is the kind of place, too, where they take you in the back room and then they do a whole, they put a hot towel on your face.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and they do the shampoo of the hair and then the scalp massage.
Very nice.
So normally that is like 30 seconds long. Mm-hmm. Over 5 minutes. And then
5 minute head massage.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then she put her thumb in between my eyes and the bridge of my nose and started massaging me there. And then she, you know, we're done there. And then you go back to the chair and then they pull out the shoulder massager. And then, you know, normally when they do that, it's a minute long if you're lucky. It was another 3-4 minutes. I was like, oh my gosh, she feels sorry for me. She thinks there's something wrong.
And I think whoever suggested that, I think she thinks you have cancer. I really do.
That could very well be.
All I just want to say is I pay over almost $100 for a haircut. Nobody massages me anywhere.
No?
I get no head massage. I get no shoulder massage. I'm getting a bang trim next week. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to say, you know, there's a sporty clip haircut place for sporty clips.
Yes.
Rub your shoulders.
Let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Do you just get a basic haircut? Just go there. No. Just waltz in there. Say, no. I want the sporty. I want you to massage my shoulder. I want the hot towel on my face.
You know, that's not a bad idea. Just go there for the spa treatment part.
$31 for a haircut. How much do you pay?
I pay close to $90.
I only get my haircut
twice a year and my bang trims are free, but it's a lot for a haircut.
If you're just getting a basic haircut, you're not getting the layered or you're not getting feathered hair or something that you're going to put in a banana clip.
I don't trust anybody else with my hair. This young lady has been cutting my hair for 20 some odd years. For the first decade, I didn't even pay for haircuts. So now I'm like, whatever I have to pay for now, because she was at one salon where she had a couple friends and family and she doesn't have any siblings. So I got right in there for years. So I just figure I'm making up for lost time. $30 for a shoulder and a head massage. All right, I'm going to reassess my life.
Yeah.
I will.
Well, now I feel bad. But for the record, I picture perfect health. I'm not sick and I'm not trying to get some sort of sympathy having people think that I have cancer when I do not. So I'm not looking for that.
Now I need you to go back to the sporty clip place and be like, "Hey, I know you guys just do like sporty haircuts, but I just want to make sure that like you, I don't want you to put another second of thought into this. You have to ask her, but like, do you think I have cancer? I'm sick or something? Cause that way you can really assure her. It didn't even occur to me the last time I was here that might be what you think. And then you guys gave me the massages and you do the whole thing. I just want you to know. I've got
a better idea. How about I never go to that location again?
Oh, all the locations have the massagey things?
Yes, they all have them. It's a chain.
Let's go to another one. It's fine. Let's go to another one.
Sarah. Jezebel.
Oh, Jezebel, where I get all my news. All my Jezebel related news.
Not calling you a Jezebel.
I wouldn't dare.
So Jezebel. A site, and I understand that a lot of people who get their news on the internet, they don't go to Jezebel, and maybe they haven't heard of Jezebel. Jezebel was this leftist.
CNN describes it as a punchy feminist blog.
It was a leftist blog, far left, run by hags.
Yeah, dude, far left. Smear machine, man. I wish I could remember. There were so many times that Jezebel ran with a story that was just completely false. I can't even remember one. There's been so many. There's swill merchants.
Yes. And so I guess it's going on. It started off as a blog, and then they were bought out by Geo Media. And so this shocking to me, they aren't making enough money to keep the doors open. And so Geo Media announced that they are shutting down operations over at Jezebel, and they're going to lay off its staff effective immediately. Immediately.
It happened to a better group of folks.
Yeah. The chief executive officer at Geo Media, Jim Spanfeller, said in a memo to staff obtained by CNN that the company had tried to sell the publication, but that after talks with 24 potential buyers, quote, we could not find Jez a new home.
Oh, is that what they call his Jez?
Jez.
Ugh, that is
okay.
Ridiculous.
I do not celebrate when someone loses their job. I do not take joy in people losing their job. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I am happy about. Jezebel shutting down. It does not bring me joy at all. I just am upset about it. And no. This is fantastic. Headlines. This is fantastic.
Headlines. The pioneering feminist website, sharp-edged feminist website, an incisive feminist voice. These are all just headlines about how it's shutting down. And I'm like, well, how good could it possibly have been?
Yeah, nobody would go to that site.
No one would. There's it's not reputable.
Yeah, reputable.
I think I almost said it with a T. Retutable? What is even?
Yeah, it's not retutable either.
Retutable. No, it's not retutable. it's not a reputable publication. It's the female equivalent of the guy in the basement eating Cheetos typing blog.
Oh, Palmer, right? Report.
There it is. And look, both Fingers and I have many, many, many blogging friends, and we're not stereotyping bloggers. Some of them are very intelligent people who do very good work and are very devoted to that. But however, the sort of caricature version of a blogger that has come up since blogging became a thing is accurate for Jezebel.
Yeah. Listen, my career in radio started as a blogger.
As a blogger. Yep.
I had fingersmalloy.com was once a blog, and it was called 1 Hour Martinizing.
Nice.
Started in 2009. It sounded like a good idea at the time, calling it 1 Hour Martinizing.
Right.
Led me to internet radio, and now on 60 stations all over the country.
Here we are.
Yeah. And used to write for the Washington Times. So there's nothing wrong with blogging.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Unless you're Jezebel.
Unless you're slime. Unless you're a swill merchant.
Yes. So
you are going to spread lies and misinformation because you are safe from the covers of a large news organization.
No, not anymore.
Nope.
Jezebel is no more. So the war in Israel continues to rage on, and mm-hmm. there's no end in sight. And it's having... The impact in the United States, especially what's going on college campuses, it's outrageous. The anti-Semitism that is now just out in the open for everyone to see, this behavior, is It's surprising to me, not on the college campuses. That doesn't surprise me at all.
No,
but the behavior open. The absolute
ripping posters down.
Well, that's where I was going was, yeah. Okay. If I think we can all, if we try to step back and analyze the situation, we can have sympathy for innocent children in Gaza who are being harmed by what is going on. If you are a human being, you should be able to sit back and say, well, that yes, that is terrible.
It's awful. Right. It's awful.
This is all Hamas's fault.
Correct.
And there's sitting back and saying, well, geez, that I feel bad for the children in Gaza, having that position versus going and seeing these posters of hostages, many of them children,
infants, babies.
And having the urge to tear these posters down, rip them down. I cannot wrap my head around that. And so we have this story. Fox Business had it. There's an Upper East Side coffee shop in New York City. And the baristas all walked out after the owner posted support for Israel.
Oh, my gosh. That's...
Yeah. So New York residents were seen lining up outside of an Upper East Side coffee shop Tuesday after the store's entire barista staff quit because of the owner's support for Israel. According to reports, they got all upset because he was posting these pictures of hostages taken by Hamas.
Yep.
And they all walked out.
Wow.
They quit.
Just walked out.
I mean, these again. And if you would like to see a Palestinian state, I understand being, you know, frustrated if you feel like there should be a Palestinian state. This is Hamas.
Right.
And the worst, not since the Holocaust have we seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. And to be upset that someone would put these posters up, it just blows my mind. And people in the community, you know, they're rallying behind this cafe, and there are businesses nearby that stepped up to help the cafe as well. But this is just another example of the stuff we're seeing. There was a protest, counter protest in Los Angeles. Pro-Palestinian groups and a pro-Israel demonstration were going on at the same time. And allegedly, one of the protesters from the pro-Palestinian side hit an older Jewish gentleman in the head with a megaphone, and he fell to the ground and hit his head, and he ended up dying.
Yep. Just for the record, a Jewish man who is also an active Democrat activist who had marched with these people on every topic except this one, where he stood, where he thought he could just stand with his Jewish flag as a counter protest because it's, we live in a country with free speech and you're allowed to, do you want, and the people who had been allies of his, or he had been allied to, attacked him for holding a Jewish flag. Remember when everybody was freaked out because you could literally couldn't even walk down the street in a hoodie without getting murdered? And then those same people are going, oh, and it's not actually a problem. And then you can't look at the posters. The posters are just propaganda to make you side with Israel, and they rip them down. It's
propaganda.
Amazing. Yeah.
It's propaganda.
Yeah, it's propaganda.
These kids have been kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. I saw one video where the guy literally was like, prove it. Prove that the kids have been kidnapped? Okay. Okay. Okay.
It's just crazy times we're living in. In California, there was a study done, and I bring up California a lot. What's going on there? Because, you know, these are trial balloons. What they what they want to get done, what they do in California, they want to do to the rest of the country.
Yes.
These policies that increased cost of living and, you know, housing is getting out of control. And a lot of it has to do with government policy. Middle class families in California hit with $26,000 cost of living penalty.
What's a cost of living penalty?
It's living out in California. They're getting slammed with an unreasonable cost of living penalty for simply residing in California, according to data from the Transparency Foundation. They did a cost of California report. A typical middle class family of three earning $130,000 a year faces a financial burden of more than $26,000 because of higher living expenses.
That headline made me think that California was like, hey, we're just need to, everybody left, so we need some more tax revenue. We're just, you live here in California, you're going to be, you know, I mean, I understand.
Yeah.
I get what they're saying. It's whatever, but I literally thought it was just like, oh, it's time to file your taxes. Oh, hey, by the way, $26,000 penalty for living in the state of California.
The nonpartisan group's report compares costs such as housing, utilities, food, gas, childcare, and healthcare in every major household budget category between California and national averages. And that's where they came up with the $26,000 cost of living penalty for living in California. I mean, we talk about it all the time, how California is run and the overregulation. We just what we did a story. I can't remember if we did it here or on Eat, Drink, Smoke, where the McDonald's and Chipotle are re-examining how they're doing business because of the raise in minimum wage in California to franchise. I think it's $20 an hour, something ridiculous.
Wow.
And
no wonder all those restaurants are replacing servers with robots that bring you a food on a tray.
Exactly. Everybody's going to be ordering food from a tablet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then a little wheelie cart robot will come up to your table and then you have to pull the tray off of it.
But they're doing it for your own good, see.
It's for your own good. You thank them for their service.
I want to thank the Coral Reefer Band.
Oh, yeah.
For their service.
Wasted away in Margaritaville.
Yeah. So Jimmy Buffett, of course, passed away not too long ago. And so the Coral Reefer Band, it's Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band.
All right.
That's been the act. They have decided and they had Jimmy Buffett's blessing that they're going to continue to tour. And
that's exciting.
Yeah. So it's funny. It's you have to wonder how are they going to pull this off? Are they going to pull and I'm not going to say that the Dead replaced Jerry Garcia with John Mayer, but are they going to have someone, you know, fill that role?
I think that John Mayer has the opportunity to do something hilarious here. Like, why can't he be like, all right, guys, I've had a great time touring with you in the Dead, but I feel like my talents are needed over here with the Coral Reefer Band.
Yeah.
And then John Mayer could end up. Is it John Mayer? It is John Mayer. I just had a brain hiccup for a second. How funny would that be if he was like, now John Mayer's touring with the Coral Reefer Band? Hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Either him or the guy that's opening for Queen or doing Queen, the American Idol, Adam Lambert.
Oh,
the Coral Reefer Band should bring in either Adam Lambert.
I thought it may be, you know, the guy that was ripping Jimmy Buffett off during the 90s, that country guy that's like 4'6".
Oh, I don't know about this.
That
would be funny.
Kenny Chesney.
Kenny Chesney throughout the
90s, it was all I'm on a beach drinking my Corona. And it's like, oh gosh, you're just ripping Jimmy Buffett off. What are you doing?
I'm wasted away in Daiquiriville. It's Daiquiri Town, and I love it here.
Yeah, so they're gonna apparently tour, and it'll be interesting to see if they have someone a big name join them to sing, or if it will just be, you know, the band just touring and singing his songs.
It's not like Jimmy Buffett was like this amazing singer. You know what I mean? I bet anyone in the Coral Reef Band could step up and do it.
Yeah, it wasn't Freddie Mercury.
Right, exactly.
So
the vocal talents was not the draw.
No, but I love Jimmy Buffett. I saw him. Yeah. I don't know how many times. It's crazy. But sad to see him go, but I'm happy to see that the Coral Reefer Band will continue to tour. And oh, and by the way, I got Hootie and the Blowfish tickets for next year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hootie.
With that, we got to go. She's Sarah. I'm Fingers. We'll be back next week with an all new Snark Factor Wham Talk Radio.